right, I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead. Thanks for being here. And, oh, my goodness, Dave Burns is with us from 98.7 Arizona Sports. And, Burnsy, that has to be one of the most depressing sporting events I've ever experienced in my life.
I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, you start thinking about, right, the Super Bowl and San Antonio Holmes.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about, like, the Rose Bowl and Joe Germain and David Boston beating ASU in the last minute. I mean.
Yeah, that's true.
But this one was next level, Barry. This one was next level. It was humiliating. It was embarrassing. To lose by that much, to be that disinterested, to have that kind of lack of effort or energy or want to or care, it was just a horrible way for a season to come to an end, and it's gonna leave a mark that is gonna be very, very difficult to remove for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I agree with you, Burnsy. And it was, you know, we were watching this game, and you just kept thinking, well, they're gonna turn it on. Here it comes. You know, it's they're missing some shots, but they're gonna get there, and it just never came. The entire game, they just never got it together.
The second quarter, they quit. I mean, they just quit. It's like the worst thing you could ever say about a team or a player, but it's got to be said that they were down 10 at the end of the first quarter. Booker didn't have a point. Paul didn't have a point. Ayton didn't have a point. And you thought, at least I did, I thought, okay, all things being equal, to only be down 10 points in that situation, they'll be fine. The worst quarter of basketball they've played in forever and a day, they'll be fine.
Right.
And in the second quarter, Dinwiddie hit a couple of shots, and they quit. And that was the part that is going to stick with us now, not just until the next season starts, but honestly until next year's playoffs start, right? Where you're just never going to not be able to think about how badly they played and how so obviously they just gave up on that game last night. And it's so we're talking very literally months, I mean almost a year, until you're going to have an opportunity to kind of get that taste out of your mouth, and that's just going to make for a very long, insufferable wait for a lot of Suns fans.
Dave Burns is with us from 98.7 Arizona Sports, talking about the Suns' loss yesterday. And, you know, you're right. I think the Suns had 17 in the first quarter, if I'm remembering, and then only 10 in the second quarter, 27 points in the half. And I'm glad you said that they just quit, because it did seem like that. And I just heard something. I don't know if you've heard this, that because Ayton was basically benched, I think, early in the third quarter. And I heard Monty Williams asked him, do you even want to play? And that seems to be the attitude with some of these players. It was startling, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there was a longtime Suns fan, the guy who paints himself in orange. He calls himself Mr. Orange. He tweeted out last night during the game, after the game, that words were exchanged between the two of them, talking about Monty and DA now, and that there was, and I didn't see it, but going by his account here. But then after the game, Monty's very ominous. It's internal when asked why DeAndre Ayton only played 17 minutes. And I mean, look, they've got a big decision about him this offseason, a lot of money. And to sit here and say that I think they're going to give it to him now, or that it's a no-brainer they give it to him now, I'd be lying to you if I said that. I have no idea what's going to happen with DeAndre Ayton, or what should even happen with DeAndre Ayton at this point, because it wasn't just him. It was Book. It was Paul, God bless him. Apparently he's got some sort of an injury, but it just kind of gets the feeling now where it feels like you're always going to have an injury that you're dealing with Chris Paul in this time of year. So it's a whole bunch of things last night.
Yeah, and I heard that too, that Paul was limping off the court afterwards, and I'm hoping we hear about some of this. I know they don't like to talk about injuries while things are going on. You don't want the other team to know anything, but I think it would be helpful for the Suns fans to understand what happened to Chris Paul. I mean, the guy went from being the MVP of the playoffs to just dropping off the face of the earth altogether, and I hope it was an injury.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was thinking exactly the same thing. At some point watching that game last night, I think I said to myself, God, I hope he's hurt.
Right.
I hope he's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, because the alternative is that he's old. And the alternative is that he's just ran out of gas. But at the same time, wanting him to be hurt as an explanation for what happened last night doesn't do anybody any good either, because it just leads to the question of, well, how healthy is he going to be this time a year from now when he's 38 years old? What injuries will he be dealing with then? And so it's one of those be careful what you wish for things. And I feel like him being hurt provides an explanation for how poorly he's played in these last five games, but it does not set us up for a very bright future with Paul as kind of one of the centerpieces to this team moving forward. I think it's fair and it's legitimate to ask how much of a centerpiece he can be moving forward.
And Dave Burns joining us from Arizona Sports. But here's the question. I mean, Paul was out for part of the season, and the Suns did fine. Booker was out for part of it. They were able to replace those pieces, and the bench stood up and got things done. What happened? I mean, how did the Suns go from being the best team in the league by far, it wasn't even close, to a team that in the playoffs never looked good, and these last couple games against the Mavericks, I'm kidding about this, but it almost looks like they put some money on, hey, if we lose by over 30, we get 3-1. I mean, it looked I don't know how you can get that bad after being that good so quickly.
It's the question that we're going to be asking as a fan base and as the media that covers this team for a calendar year. And Barry, I'd love to sit here and say I had an answer for you. In my mind, hearing you talk, the first kind of thing that pops into my mind is Devin Booker. It is that, you know, he's at some point in time in the next week or two, he is going to be named to an All-NBA first team or an All-NBA second team. He got more MVP votes than Luka Doncic, and in that moment, he did not rise up. And in those moments that you're referring to when Chris Paul was hurt, Devin Booker did. He played like a guy who was like, okay, I got this. I'm the man. I'll play like the man. Didn't play like the man yesterday. And the bench, I mean, maybe the most important thing this organization needs to do this offseason, other than make a decision about Ayton, is going to be find a veteran, capable, trustworthy backup point guard.
Yeah.
So in those moments when Chris Paul is showing his age or when he's hurt or when he can't contribute, they've got a more reliable option to turn to, because right now Campaign, Landry Shamet, not getting the job done, not even close to getting the job done when you need rotational depth at the guard position. And that's, you know, if I'm James Jones, you know, DA's top of my list. Figuring out a better backup guard, that's number two on my list right now, especially after the way they were exposed.
Campaign was another one that just kind of disappeared in the playoffs. I know he didn't play well in that first series. Did Monty just lose confidence in him and take him out of the rotation?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he had to just, I mean, by the end of the series, we were seeing Landry Shamet get most of those minutes as the first guard off the bench. And, you know, he's very limited defensively. He played well earlier in the season. He's limited defensively. He doesn't have a ton of size. I think Monty lost faith in Cameron Payne, and there was such an erraticness to his game. He couldn't be trusted in those big moments. He just couldn't be.
Dave Burns with us. All right, Burns, last question. I think Monty's a great coach. He just won Coach of the Year, so it's odd for me to even ask this question, but did he get out-coached by Jason Kidd as far as making adjustments? Or, and this is what I tend to think it was, Dallas just seemed to want it more. They were hustling. They were moving. They played good defense. I mean, it just looked like that to a fan.
You can't lose 4 out of 5 games. You can't blow. I know it was just a 2-0 lead, but when you get outscored by, I haven't even done the math, but the Game 6 final and the Game 7 final into win and you advance moments, you absolutely have to look at Monty Williams. Now look, he's been one of the best things to happen in the Phoenix Suns organization. I hope he's the coach for years and years and years to come. But you better believe he's got to take a look at the mirror and figure out what he should have done sooner, what options he should have explored earlier in this series. I saw Pat Bev this morning on ESPN suggesting they should have benched Chris Paul with his loyalty to Chris Paul in the moment. Yep. You know, was that kind of a soft spot for him, or was it just simply a lack of options? I don't know. But you can't lose Game 6 and Game 7 by the number of points the Suns did without asking yourself, is this a coaching issue? And did he get out-coached? Yeah, Jason Kidd out-coached Monty Williams in those last 2 games. And 4 out of the last 5 games, Jason Kidd absolutely out-coached him, coming up with adjustments that Monty just could not answer in any way, shape, or form.
That's what it looked like to me as well. All right, Dave Burns, thanks for being here. You can listen to Burnsy on Arizona Sports 98.7, and thanks for the insight.
Thanks, Barry.